It's easy to have faith when the refrigerator is full, when things are going well, when you have a great job and you're taking a vacation every month. I mean, it's just easy, guys. Cake. But what happens when there's trials and persecutions? What happens when you feel attacks? And if you hold on to your faith, you're learning what faithfulness looks like. Let me tell you something else. You're learning to be holy. God wants you to live a holy life. God wants you to walk by faith, and he's teaching you perseverance. Hey, friend, thank you for clicking on this video. I am Pastor Reuben, the lead pastor and founding pastor of this amazing church. I pray you hear a word from God that encourages your soul and gives you a new perspective on life. So, year 2025. What happened in year 2025 for you? Maybe it was a phenomenal year. You got a promotion. You got a great job. Maybe you got a woman. You got a man. I don't know. And you got a car. You got some new clothes. You got some new kicks, whatever. I don't know. It was just a great, great, great year for you. Maybe you lost a job in 2025. Maybe you're still unemployed in 2025. Maybe you got a new job and you were hoping for a better job, but you found out it's not a better job and now you're in this place. Maybe you moved, and maybe Thorn Creek Church is your new church in 2025. Thank you for coming to church. God bless you. It's a great church. Maybe it was a birth of a baby in 2025. Maybe that was just a great, great thing that happened in 2025 for you. Maybe it was a loss of a loved one. Whatever it is, maybe you got hurt in 2025, and that now has affected your ability to trust others because you've gotten hurt. Whatever it is, 2025. We're going to look at this whole wrapped, Thorn Creek wrapped, and what did God do in 2025. Any of you have Spotify, a Spotify account? Spotify gives you an end of year wrapped of what happened, and I felt like, you know, I should share with you my personal Spotify wrapped with you, because I feel like that's something you probably want to know very, very much so. It's probably important to you. So here's my Spotify wrapped. My top artists were Maverick City, Taylor Swift, and Elevation Worship. So my daughter has hijacked my Spotify. I'll just say that. Don't get too excited, Swifties. I'm just not there. But yeah, I saw that. I had some Swifties last night going, yeah, I'm just not there. I love gospel, and I love gospel. And the song's just as good. That's a great song. Make It Right. That's a really, really cool song. Anyway, He Can. This is all gospel stuff. But that was it. And I thought it's really important for you to know my listening age, because I think that's our actual age. So my listening age is 24. I just want everyone to be aware of that. The title of this weekend's message is Thorn Creek Wrapped. And we're going to be looking at how God has moved at Thorn Creek. I want to start with the early church Christians. When I took a sabbatical in 2025, I had the privilege and honor to go and travel the steps of Paul the Apostle in Athens and Rome and Corinth. And I got a new perspective of the early church. I got a new perspective of what it means to be a disciple. I got a new perspective of their courage, their faith, their boldness in the midst of 75,000 plus gods, and what it took to be a follower of Jesus, a member of the way. And one of the things I want to share with you is Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul the Apostle, he's talking to early church Christians. He's talking to people who are trying to make good decisions and trying to walk by faith and trying to follow Jesus, and they're learning how to do that. So he writes this letter to these Christians in Philippi, and he says this: always be full of joy in the Lord. Always be full of joy in the Lord. And I want to just make sure you see this. It's not a fabricated, superficial, psych me up, you know, kind of joy. It's a joy that comes from your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a joy that comes from fellowship with Jesus, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And because Jesus is living inside of me, I'm different. Have you ever seen someone who's truly full of Jesus and they smile? They laugh. There's a countenance about them. Have you ever seen someone who calls himself a Christian and you wonder if their face got the message? you wonder if they truly are different. And I think I'd rather hang out with someone who is not a Christian than someone like this guy who is, or a girl, whatever, woman. I'll always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, and then what does it say? Rejoice. You know, Jesus has called us to this life of joy. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And Paul the Apostle starts off and say, always be full of the joy of the Lord. And this comes from a personal relationship with Jesus. And a personal relationship with Jesus starts with you saying, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. It's the biggest decision you'll ever make in your life. So if you're here right now in this service, I want you to know that's your first step in knowing complete, true, abundant joy. You want to have joy in your life. You want to have happiness. You got to stop looking at it with things that you buy or your experiences. Those are all fun. That's all great. But true joy, sustainable joy, true happiness in this world comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. You need Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Let's put our hands together, guys. Jesus is Lord. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to take that first step. And then Paul says, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. So Paul says, there's got to be evidence of your relationship with Jesus. It just can't be talk. The way you carry yourself, the way you handle yourself, what you say, what you do, should reflect that Jesus has radically changed your life. Then he says, you know what, keep this in mind. The Lord is coming soon. Christians believe one day Jesus will return. And Jesus gave us a date and a time for that. You ready to put this down? He said, be ready. That's what he said. Be ready. And live every day with that expectation. We are citizens of heaven. We're passing through this world. And we're to live a different way. Verse 6, here it is. Don't worry about anything. Turn to the person next and just tell them, don't worry about it. Don't worry about anything. Instead, what should we do? Instead, pray about everything. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. I preached this message out of Isaiah. And so I'm not going to go too much into this. You can look on our YouTube page and look it up. But instead, we should pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And here's, let's read this last sentence out loud, because this is what we're going to do today. And thank him for, glory to God. It's good to reflect on the goodness of God. It's good to reflect on the mercy of God. It's good to reflect and say, boy, God is with me. I'm so grateful he closed that door. I'm so grateful I didn't get that job. I'm so grateful he carried me through that rough time. He carried me when I was battling depression. He carried me when I was battling addiction. He carried me when I was, you know, whatever it is. It's good to reflect on the goodness of God. And you're going to have an opportunity to do that here in a little bit. Then you will experience God's peace. Thank you, Lord. Which exceeds anything we could understand. Other versions say, then you'll know God's peace, which surpasses all understanding. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. That's the consequence of turning to God and praying. That's the consequence. Always be full of joy. Let everyone see it. Remember, the Lord is coming. Don't worry about anything. Pray about it instead. To tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Let's look at thanking God for all he's done in 2025. This is going to be the last time. Psalm 143 says, I remember the days of old. I ponder all your great works and think about what you have done. It's so, have you ever just think about, like, what has God done in my life? You ever look back in your life and thought, boy, look how good God is, and I'm so grateful, and if I would have taken a right instead of taking a left. You ever think like that? It's good to think like that and ponder. At Thorn Creek Church, I remember the days when I used to go around walking the streets when we had zero people and going up sidewalks and knocking on strangers' doors and talking to them about church. I remember those days. I remember the door getting closed on me. I remember following people who were shopping at Super Target. If they're buying chicken, I'm going to buy chicken and I'm going to talk to them about their relationship with Jesus. Doesn't that make sense to you? if I were you, if you were me, you probably would have been like, ah, I get that. This is a weird guy. I don't know what he's doing. He's talking to me about Jesus and I'm buying chicken and I'm in a rush. I got to get back home, whatever. And those, I remember those days, but I'm fond of them now because I recognize how God has moved. Today, we have over 1,200 people that call Thorn Creek Church their home church. I think God has been pretty faithful, don't you? Hallelujah. I tell people all the time, I'm evidence God can use anybody. I'm evidence God can use. All he needs is a yes from you. And God can do great and mighty things. 2025, let me share a little bit how God is moving in. Again, if you're visiting this church, come on back. Come on back. It's a great church. Let me tell you a little bit about 2025, how God has moved. We've had over 400 worship services in 2025 here in this place. And that includes our weekend worship services. We have three services every weekend. Our Holy Week services, we have five services of looking at the life of Jesus Monday through Friday every Holy Week. We also have extra services on Christmas, extra services on Easter. We also have our young, a vibrant young adult ministry from the ages of 18 to 25. We have 50 or 60 young adults that come to this church. Hallelujah. When church people think young adults are not going to church anymore, they don't know what they're talking about. We have young adults. And we have vibrant student ministries and children's ministries, and they all have worship services. Over 400 times, the gospel of Jesus Christ has been preached in this church in 2025. That takes a lot of work. Hallelujah. That takes a lot of work. I know for some of you, you know, it's coming to church and join it, and that's great. But for others of you who are in it, you're in the fight and you're in it, it's a lot of work. Like, I'll just tell you, this week, Christmas Eve services, it was our biggest Christmas Eve service in 23 years in the life of Thorn Creek Church. We've never had Christmas Eve services at this level. We had 824 people showed up in 2 days, and we gave the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people turned to the Lord. But you know what, guys? I'm just going to tell you, you know, I preach Saturday, and their whole team will tell you, Saturday came really quick for us. Really quick. You know, we did four services, one on Tuesday night and three on Wednesday. And we were all done about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, midnight by the time we were done, and we had a day of rest, and then it was time to think about Saturday service. And we were here yesterday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And that's how it is. And I'm so grateful for our team. They are such a blessing. Our volunteers, our staff, our worship team, our children's ministry workers, our guest relations people, our bouncers, they're all amazing. Over 180 people gave their life to Jesus in 2025. You know what's crazy about that number? It was even more than that, because this number, when I got back from my sabbatical, that's when the Lord put it on my heart to have people stand up. And we would, at the end of messages, say, hey, if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you stand up? And we started doing that. So this number really is counting from July to date. There's half of the year. We didn't even count. So who knows what that number is? The Lord knows. We baptized 94 people in 2025. Now let me just say, I'm so glad you're putting your hands together. This is a time of celebration. We're in 2025. It pleases God when we're grateful to him. Last Easter, we baptized 65 people on Easter weekend. And this coming Easter weekend, here we are. We're going to do it again. If you have given your life to Jesus, get baptized on Easter weekend. Scan the QR code behind the chair. Get signed up. If you get signed up early, we'll baptize you early, all right? But get signed up. It's a great time of celebration. And, Jesus is changing lives in this church. He is changing lives. We had a 79-year-old woman stand up to receive Jesus in this church. We have people of all ages receiving Jesus in this church. It's not just young, it's old as well, everyone in between. We have had over 1,000 people invite the Holy Spirit to fill them in this church in 2025. And we've ministered to so many people. That's a big deal. That's a really big deal. You can't live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to fill you. If you're going to walk with God, you just need it. We have ministered to young adults, our students, our teenagers, our children, and we have a phenomenal team of people that do all of that with excellence. So praise the Lord. We have done it so well. We've helped out marriages. We have clothed the naked. They weren't actually naked when we clothed them, but we provided clothes for them. Feed 5,000. That's an event we've been doing every year. Wow, Lord. Probably for about 20 years now, we've been feeding people during the week of Thanksgiving, and we partner with Food for Hope now. This last year, the week before Thanksgiving, we fed over 10,000 people with Food for Hope. Over 10,000 people. It's the biggest Thanksgiving project in all of the state of Colorado, guys. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool. We work with different organizations outside the walls. We have partnerships. And this is due to our creative, our outreach director, Kaylee. And we've established these partnerships outside of the walls, ministering to single moms, ministering to women who are caught up in sex trafficking and helping them, ministering to children, ministering to immigrants, all kinds of wonderful, wonderful things. And we do an outreach event every single month. Every month, we are partnering with one of them, and we just kind of rotate it around. And then we did Hope Week. Hope Week is five consecutive days of partnering with people outside. So we have these great partnership relationships, and we did that again over and over, and we did again. And check this out, guys. This church right here, I sent an email to our CPA and asked her, how much did we give in 2025? And to date, this doesn't even include this weekend, this church has honored God with their finances just over $1 million in 2025. Hallelujah. Strong churches are giving churches, and they understand giving is an act of worship. So that's all indication. And in 2025 was a big time for me on a personal level and for the church, because I had my sabbatical, and we traveled, and I asked God, show me something new. And the thing the Lord showed me is how desperate I need the Holy Spirit. Now, I've been walking with Jesus for a while, but the message God gave me and gave Thorn Creek Church was this: the future God has for you requires a new filling of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's a word from the Lord. I'm going to say it again. The future God has for you requires a new filling of the Holy Spirit. Some of you are receiving that. Others of you didn't hear that. I'm just going to trust you. But I believe that's a word from God. When I got back from our sabbatical, that's when we went through this series called Fire. And we looked at what does it look like to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's part of the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What does that look like? And then we looked at, we went through a whole series on the early church. The Lord really convicted me about the early church and what kind of disciples we're making today compared to the disciples of the early church. And that really, really impacted our church. And as a result, we have been leaning into this relationship with the Holy Spirit ever since I've gotten back from my sabbatical. We've been leaning into prayer. I believe churches are called house of prayer, and we need more people who are willing to get on their knees and pray in intercession and pray and ask God to move in their homes, in their families, in the church, whatever it is. And we've been doing that. We started some prayer times. We've been praying on Wednesday nights at 6 p.m., and that's continued, but that's grown. We now have 20, 30 plus people that show up on Wednesday nights. We're doing it this Wednesday at 6 p.m. Incidentally, this Wednesday is the very last day of 2025. How cool would it be for you to show up to pray on the very last day in 2025? We're going to be here at 6 o'clock. Park in the back. And then we started a whole new one. You know what it is? Zoom prayer every Tuesday morning at 6:30 a.m. You know what, guys? We have people from 20, 3 to up to 55 people show up every Tuesday morning at 6:30 a.m. by Zoom to pray. Glory to God. Isn't that beautiful? Who would have thunk it? Who would have thunk it? We have people, and you don't have to turn on your camera if you feel like you're just ugly in the morning or whatever. You can keep your camera off, and it's a miracle God uses me. But you can keep your camera off. We have people who are in their uniform for work. We have people driving. We have people who are on a walk. We have people who are staying. Whatever you're at, just join us as we cry out together as a church. It's such a beautiful, vulnerable time starting the day with prayer with your church. And you can go on our website and just scroll down and you'll see the link. It's the same link every week, but it's a very cool thing we do. And then we pray every Saturday at 5 p.m. right before our worship services start at 6. You're welcome to join. We pray in the connection room right here. And then every Sunday at 8 a.m. right before our Sunday services, we pray. So I'm so excited about that. You know, a lot of us use the YouVersion Bible app. Anybody use the YouVersion Bible app? Raise your hand if you do. It's a great app. It's a free app, and I use it on my phone. And on YouVersion, you could actually identify your local church. So a lot of people put, you know, I attend Thorn Creek Church. And it's cool because then you can see notes and other stuff from Thorn Creek when you do that. YouVersion sent us some data. They sent us, based on those who selected Thorn Creek Church with their YouVersion Bible app, they sent us some results. If you're a stats person, you'll love this. They said this to us, that the people who read our YouVersion and are with Thorn Creek have spent a total of 10,630 days in God's Word. Isn't that cool? In the year 2025. Of course, I know. That doesn't count those of you who aren't using the app, or maybe you're just old school and just using your hardcover all the time, and that's great. Top shared Bible verse, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Word. Isn't that true? There's your battle. There's your battle right there. Your battle is not your woman. Your battle is not your man. Your battle is not your kids. Your battle is not your finances. Your battle, you want to know what your battle is? It's spiritual forces in this world. It's against the battles of the enemy. And that's our top shared Bible verse. That's your top shared Bible verse. Top highlighted verse. I love Isaiah chapter 41. Here it is, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Oh, doesn't that feel good? Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's the top highlighted verse for Thorn Creek Church here with you using a YouVersion kind of thing. That's what it is. You know, I want to share a little bit because I know sometimes we have, there's things that happen in the year that we want to leave behind. And anybody fail? Anybody fall down? Anybody feel like, gosh, I want to be better, but I'm not at times, and I say things when I shouldn't say. Anybody ever experience that stuff? Maybe it's just me. I experience that stuff. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. It reminds me, the Lord just showed this to me right now. I'll share it with you. When the Israelites, when God told the Israelites to go into the promised land, he left the giants in the promised land. And there were other pagan nations in the promised land. Jesus says, you're going to be in the world, but I'm not going to take the trouble out of the world. You got to learn to walk by faith. You got to learn to trust me. You got to learn to cry out to me in the middle of the trouble. Psalm 37 is it's a beautiful chapter, but verse 23 says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. Can you say godly with me? The godly. He's talking about good-hearted, godly men and women. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives, and I believe that. God delights in every detail of your life. Verse 24 says, though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. The godly stumble. The godly fall. The godly even sin. And when we sin, we need to turn to God and say, God, forgive me. I ask you for forgiveness, and I plead the blood of Jesus over me, and you repent, and you say, I want to be better, Lord. Help me, Jesus, be better. But what I love about this is this. Setbacks don't define your worth or your calling. Even godly people can stumble. But godly people hold on to God's hand and get up. That's the difference. They hold on to God's hand and they say, I'm gonna get up. I'm not gonna let this setback define me. I'm not gonna let last night define me. I'm not gonna let that argument, I'm not gonna let that fall in addiction, whatever it is, I'm not gonna let that define me. Paul says in Romans, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop what, church? Endurance. And endurance develops what, church? Strength of character, and character strengthens our confident what? Hope of salvation. So there's this progression there. Problems and trials develop endurance, which develop strength of character, which develops our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Glory to God. Peter says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Thank you, Lord. These trials will show that your faith is what, church? Is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Here's what this passage is saying. Your faith is tested by trials, but don't shrink back. You're learning what it means to be dependent on God and walk by faith, and there's great joy on the other side. That's what trials and problems and persecution do to you. It's easy to have faith when the refrigerator is full, when things are going well, when you have a great job and you're taking a vacation every month. I mean, it's just easy, guys. Cake. But what happens when there's trials and persecutions? What happens when you feel attacks? And if you hold on to your faith, you're learning what faithfulness looks like. Let me tell you something else. You're learning to be holy. God wants you to live a holy life. God wants you to walk by faith, and he's teaching you perseverance. Somebody told me last night, said, Pastor, I just want to thank you for your endurance. And I thought, this is a brother who knows what endurance is. And I said, you're welcome, and thank you as well. Paul says, we're pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Glory to God. Turn to the person next to you and just tell them, I'm still here. Can you do that? Can you just tell them I'm still here? Sometimes we go through stuff and it's like, you know what? You know, this stuff, I felt like it was taking me down. But you're here right now. God has put breath in your lungs. You have a God who's able to change any life. You have a Jesus who's able to change anyone. Turn to Jesus. Don't carry the weight of the sins of the world. Don't carry the weight of your problems and worries. It's not your battle. It's not your fight. You need to cry out to God and say, God, I need you to intervene in my life. I need you to intervene in my marriage. I need you to intervene with my kids. I need you to intervene in my soul, because the battle belongs to the Lord. It's not your battle. It belongs to the Lord. It's not by might nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Cry out to God. It's not your battle. Cry out to God. And God has put breath in your lungs because he has a purpose for your life. You are here right now because God has a purpose for your life. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 says this, and oh my goodness, if you just swallow this, this will change your life. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 says this, if my people, say if with me, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. You know what? Humility, I talked a little bit about this. The opposite of humility is pride. Pride is when you think you're a little more superior than everyone around you. Anybody feel like that? You're more superior, you know more, you're more in control, you're whatever. You feel a little bit more superior than those around you. That's called pride. Nobody can teach you anything because you know everything. And when someone tries to talk to you about something new, you get angry. Who do you think you are telling me? Pride. It entered the heart of an angel in heaven named Lucifer. In the very presence of God, he got full of pride and was kicked out of heaven, and 1/3 of the angels went with him and became demons. If pride can fill an angel in heaven, pride can fill a human on earth. And you better be careful. There was other people who really knew the Bible really well. They were full of pride. You know what their names were? Pharisees. They didn't need another Bible study. They knew it all. And they challenged Jesus on his teachings. They challenged Jesus on everything he did. They didn't accept. They didn't have a soft heart. So if you want, oh Lord Jesus, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. If you want to see God in your life, if you need a miracle, if you need God to invade your very soul, and you need God to invade your home, you need God to heal you from past wounds. Some of us are still bleeding, right, over stuff that happened years ago. You've been abused verbally, emotionally, sexually, whatever. If you need God, oh, hear this. You've got to humble yourself. And you know what else you got to do? Pray. God, I need you. I'm not going to worry about my image. I'm not going to worry about how I look around other people. I'm not going to worry about how I look to my wife or to my husband. Oh, you know, when someone truly humbles themselves before God, it gets God's attention. That's the soft spot in God's heart. When God sees you truly humble yourself, it gets God's attention. And pray and what? Seek his face. Seek my face. Seek my, you know, how desperate are you for the very presence of God? How desperate are you for God to hear a word from God? How desperate are you to experience God's grace and love and presence in your life? God's looking for some hungry people. He's looking for people who are desperate, who want him more than anything else. And then it says, and turn from their wicked ways. That's repentance. That's, I used to be that kind of husband. I used to be that kind of wife. I used to be that kind of man. I used to be that kind of woman. I used to look at my phone and look at those videos and reels. I used to watch this. I used to listen to this. I used to talk like whatever. And you say, I'm not going to be that person anymore. I want to live for God from now on, and I want God to take over my heart. I want God's Holy Spirit to transform my heart and renew my mind. I want to be set free from all those setbacks, all those addictions. I want to experience the freedom that God has for me in Christ Jesus. I want to experience that freedom. I want to experience true joy. But you got to want it, baby. You got to want it. It doesn't happen with just a nod. It happens with you getting on your knees and crawling on your all fours and saying, God, I need you more than anything else. It's that level. So if my people do this, then it says, then, say then with me, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Anybody need healing? Anybody need forgiveness? Here's what we're going to do with this, guys. I believe wholeheartedly that the Word of God never returns void. I believe wholeheartedly that the Word of God and the promises of God are good today as they were back then. And here's what we're going to take God up on this Word. Starting in January, we're going to go through a whole series called 21. And we're going to be looking at 21 days of prayer and fasting starting January 5, guys, January 5. So we're going to resource you. You can go to you'll be able to go to our website, and we're going to have a page. You can hear a devotion from every staff person every day, and we're going to help you in however the Lord leads you. But our prayer is that everyone cries out to God for these 21 days. Anybody need a miracle? Anybody need a miracle in their life, in their home? Well, don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's going to be good. So we've never done this before, guys, but I am expecting miracles to happen in 2026 because we're starting off with prayer and fasting. So if you're hungry, If you need God to move in your life, don't miss this. Don't miss this. 21 days prayer fast. And then it's going to end with our first fruits offering. It's going to end with our first fruits offering. And that's going to be an offering that we're going to take up on that weekend. And all the money that's going to first fruits offering is going to help out with the ministries and the operations of Thorn Creek Church. Very different from our last one, which focused on their future building. This one is all the ministries and operations. It'll help us have a strong year. So we're asking everyone to participate, pray, ask God's Holy Spirit what you should do. I want to, Lord Jesus, help me. I feel like we need to, I want to stop right here because we're about to do something now. But before I do, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Holy Spirit. If you felt like the Holy Spirit has been stirring your heart, I know it's early in the morning, but it's never too early to respond to the Holy Spirit. And God loves it when you respond with courage. So I want to give you an invitation, an opportunity here. I've been doing this ever since I got back from my sabbatical in July, and the Lord has blessed it. So none of us in this room have it all together. We all need the grace of God. And here we are, the last service in 2025. Would you give God a gift? Here's what I ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to stand up, but let your feet be your decision. Today, let's just leave, let's not carry stuff with us into 2026 that we shouldn't carry. Hurt, anger, shame, guilt, resentment, bitterness, wickedness, evil. Let's just not carry that luggage with us. It's like my garage. I got boxes of stuff that I have no idea what's inside of them. It's like, why in the world do I have those boxes? I need to throw those boxes away. I have boxes on my shelf because I felt like I needed them, and they have so much dust on them. Like, I'm not even going to open them up. I'm just going to throw them away. I'm just like, why do I have this stuff? Don't carry stuff with you into 2026. So here's the invitation. Here it is. You ready? If you would like to invite Jesus Christ into your heart, would you stand up right now, and I'm going to say a prayer for you. Stand up right where you're at. If you want to invite Jesus into your heart, look at anybody else. Stay standing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Oh, look at you, sweetheart. I see you right there. Thank you, Jesus. Look at how the Holy Spirit is moving in such a unique service, and the Holy Spirit is moving. Stay standing up. And here's the next ask. If you want to be full of the Holy Spirit today, would you stand up right now as well? You want to be full of the Holy Spirit. That's your desire, to be full of the Holy Spirit. You want transformation. I want to pray for you. Let's pray for us together. God, thank you for those who are standing. And I pray for those who stood up to invite you, Jesus, into their heart. I pray, say this prayer with me if that was you. Say, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me for my sins. I want to start a new life. I want you to be my Lord. So take over the steering wheel of my life. Forgive me, and I repent of those sins. I want to change the way I live. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me new strength, new desires, and transform me and transform my home. Others of you might need to say this: God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Oh, I want to be led by your Spirit in my thinking. I pray that you give me victory over my sinful nature so that I'm led by your Holy Spirit instead. May the fruits of your Spirit be evident in my life. Thank you for the way you're moving here, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, please be seated. This is your chance to participate. This is a time for us to celebrate the goodness of God. This is open mic weekend. This is open. You see these mics I have to my left and to my right? They're for you, baby. They're for you. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask everyone to participate in this. You don't have to, but I want to encourage those of you who are introvert, those of you who are not, I don't want to talk, I'm nervous, that kind of thing. Let me just lay this out. None of us in this room have it all together. And it's good to express gratitude to God for everything he's done in your life. And that thing that almost took you down, when you say, God, I thank you for helping me overcome this or endure this, you're putting your foot on the devil's throat and you're saying, this does not have power in my life. That's what you're doing. The other thing that happens is your testimony ministers to other people. Because other people, when we go through problems, we can get isolated and we could think like, oh, these are my problems, and you can remove yourself and isolate yourself, all that stuff. But when you hear a testimony, you know what you think? Wow, I thought I was the only one. Wow, they're really working through a problem that's way bigger than mine. Wow, look how faithful God has been in their life. So it's incredibly encouraging to hear the testimony of others, guys. You hear that? So it's worth it. So, you ready to do this? This is so good, guys. It ministers to my soul. I just sit here and I soak it in like rain. It's so beautiful. So we want you to you're gonna stand up and go against the wall, make a line against both sides of the wall, and swing around here. And in one sentence, as the Lord leads you, start it off with, I thank God. And then you can fill in whatever the Holy Spirit puts on your heart and thank God for his faithfulness, his goodness, and whatever it is. You can be as specific as you want. And let's celebrate together, church. Let's celebrate together how God is working in the hearts and lives, all right? So stand up, get against the wall, let's form lines on both sides, try to make them as even as we can, and let's thank God together. And Pastor Jeremy, you want to start us off here?
I thank God for never giving up on me.
I thank God for never withholding his presence.
I thank God for having...
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
You go.
I thank God for the ways that he brings me closer to him.
I thank God for him helping me through my daughter's death in 25.
I thank God for the way that he's brought our family through the loss of my father-in-law this year.
I thank God for the wonderful wife that he gave me.
I thank God for waking me up every morning.
I thank God for my sobriety and my family and this church.
I thank God for my family, for the church and their prayers, for the oncologist, for the medicine that he's provided for me to continue to walk through this battle of cancer and continue on this journey. I got results over Christmas week, and improvement continues to prevail, and by his wounds, I'm healed.
I thank God for my family.
I thank God for family.
I thank God for this church, my family, and my father's sobriety.
I thank God for getting me through every day this year.
I thank God for working through me and working through my family and letting me live every day.
I thank God for small answered prayers in front of non-believers to show them that he exists.
I thank God for entering my heart and walking with me through all of my trials and tribulations and joys every moment of my life. Until I cross into eternity, he'll be there.
I thank God for giving me the strength to leave my family in a better place.
Amen.
I thank God for my family and the breath in my lungs.
I thank God for bringing me to this church and helping my family learn more about God.
I thank God for my family and for loving me for who I am and changing me every day.
He said, I thank God for family and friends.
Amen.
I thank God for his forgiveness and my family.
I thank God for humbling and opening my eyes. Amen.
I thank God for my sobriety and for having him totally redirect my life and finding a church and that's kind of become home. So mm-hmm. Thank you. Amen.
I thank God for helping me find something that I lost in my house that would have made life really tough for me. And after I found it, I just praised him so much. And it also made me think, you know, everything that's going to happen to me in the future, I don't even need to think about or worry about because I belong to him.
Amen.
I thank God for my family and for receiving me at such a young age.
I thank God that at 70 years of age, he's still teaching me every day to be dependent on him and to be humble.
I thank God for my family, the church, and the people at the church.
I thank God for bringing me and my family back to church.
I thank God for my family. I thank God for bringing me to this church. And I thank him for every day, for all my blessings. I'm truly blessed because of him. And I want to leave everything that happened in 2025 behind me. Mm-hmm. Amen.
I want to thank God for my family. I'm happy that they're here. And thank you for the blessings. And hopefully we can leave all of 25 behind and start a fresh, new, blessed year.
I want to thank God for never giving up on me and showing that I could fully... that I can fully trust and surrender to him.
I want to thank God for physical healing over my family. Amen.
I want to thank God for a strengthened marriage and a healthy outcome of newly medical tests that came back to us.
I thank God for my family and pushing me through it even when I'm tired.
I thank God for this church first and also for having me sign up for men's retreat last year and keeping me tobacco free for a year.
Amen. I thank God for holding my hand in the darkness.
I want to thank God for bringing me and my beautiful family to this church and helping me be a better father and husband.
I want to thank God for being with us every day and changing our perspective on how we see what we think are unsolvable problems. And just with him and being with us every day, it's possible. It's just, he's with you. Amen.
Hello. I just want to thank God for always being here, never giving up. I mean, I had infertility and I have a beautiful daughter sitting over there, so I couldn't be any happier.
I just thank God for providing our every need. We have 7 children, and we just thank you for God's peace in our home. Amen.
I thank God for all of his goodness in our families.
I thank God for answered prayers over the last 2 months, and I'm very thankful for my husband because he's a good leader in Christ.
I thank God for my perseverance and my situation not getting worse, and try to be thankful for it.
I thank God for the many miracles that I've seen this year in my family, your protection and your love.
I thank God for the support of the members of this church, their prayers. I also thank God for bringing my wife and I through a very dark time. And I thank God for having my son turn 3 because he almost didn't turn 2. Thank you.
I thank God for drawing my family closer to him this year and just providing for us always.
I thank God for helping me quit smoking, and hopefully I can say next year for a year.
I thank God that my faith is strong because I've been in the Lord my entire life. Jim and I are facing a very severe health issue this coming year, and I pray for a miracle. And I ask you to pray for my husband.
I just wanted to thank God for giving me the light when I feel the darkest. Mm-hmm. It just makes me feel awesome to be around so many people that know what it's like to not have it all together.
I thank God for his faithfulness that is shown to me through my parents, through my mom, my dad. And I just also thank God for a surgeon that has told me that they can help me after 2.5 years of health crisis for myself and pray for a miracle for my father.
I thank God for my two little girls and what it means to be a mom, and then to waken me up to remember my mom and how great she was for me.
I thank God for this great nation that we live in and the freedoms that we have to worship God freely.
I'm thankful to God that he's been faithful throughout my whole life, since converting me from Mormonism, and for surrounding me with such a wonderful church, and especially for my wonderful family that supports me now. In Jesus.
I thank God for his provision and for bringing us to Thorn Creek.
I thank God for bringing us into this world.
Well, let's put our hands one more time together. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Let's praise the Lord. Hey, thank you so much for watching this message. I pray it encouraged your soul. Hey, you are an important part of this church. If you are encouraged by this ministry, we ask you to pray for us, and we also want to give you an opportunity to give. This church is supported by those faithful people who honor God with their giving, and you can do that by clicking the link below. Have a great day.